Celebrating 30 years on Utah's airwaves, Western Life Radio thanks you for joining us around the campfire and for your ongoing support to Utah's longest-running home, garden, travel, and outdoor adventure program. You can always join us on our online campsite at westernliferadio.com. No matter what's bugging you this summer in your garden, the USU Extension Service Integrated Pest Management Program can help you find solutions. From free fact sheets and books to seminars and updated pest advisories, this website will point you in the right direction. To find these and other free resources, stop at extension.usu.edu/pests.
Did you know that Utah's off-highway vehicle and personal watercraft youth education programs required by law are now online at www.stateparks.utah.gov? All youth must carry this certification while operating on Utah's waters or public lands. OHV education is required for youth aged to 15, and PWC education is required for youth aged 12 to 17.
Discover the magic within Utah State Parks with an annual State Parks Pass. From boating and fishing to hiking, camping, and off-highway vehicle adventures, Utah State Parks offers a wide variety of activities in the great outdoors. An annual State Park Pass opens the gate to year-round adventures at an amazing price. The annual State Park Pass provides day-use access for you and your family. In addition, Utah State Parks opens the gate to cultural and historical parks where you can learn more about Utah's rich heritage. And don't forget to reserve your favorite campsites year-round with options in teepees, yurts, and hammocks in addition to the standard tent and RV options. Visit the trailhead for more information at stateparks.utah.gov.
Faster Utah empowers teachers, administrators, and other school staff to defend themselves in case of a school shooting. We teach advanced firearms and trauma first aid skills. Graduates of the Faster program pass the same post-qualification shoot as Utah law enforcement. For more information and find out how you can help, go to fasterutah.org.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Put on your helmet, let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Sportsman's Warehouse started right here in Utah, and as you probably already know, it's your headquarters for everything hunting. With the season in full swing, Sportsman's Warehouse has everything you need to gear up for the hunts. But if hunting's not your thing, you've got to see the selection of great camping supplies, from tents, sleeping bags, packs, and lanterns, to thousands of accessories. And with football season, let's not forget tailgating. Let's talk grills, pop-up shelters, tables, and chairs galore. There's something for everyone. Sportsman's Warehouse, Utah born, Utah proud.
With your host, Brian Brinkerhoff.
Camping in the mountains, fishing in a stream. The great outdoors is where you want to be. Western Life. Western Life Radio.
Peter Milburn joins us once again, and we're talking about fall fishing. We're talking about fall hunting opportunities. Thanks for taking a few minutes with us.
You bet, Brian. I love this time of the year. Fall temperatures start to drop. The blood starts to get hotter. You know it's time for the hunting and fishing to heat up.
And you've done your share. I like what you're doing. We were just talking about how hard it is sometimes to go to work when the weather's so spectacular this time of year.
You just want to veer away from work, hop on the freeway with your fishing rods or your gun, and just get out there in the boonies this time of the year.
The fall colors are coming on, and the temperatures are dropping. Fish are starting to get frisky.
You bet. When that water temperature starts to drop, the predatory fish put on their old feed bag because they want to bulk up for winter. And so the days start to get shorter, the water's temperature starts to drop. They know it's going to be lean times in the winter, so they try to bulk up. So bass, walleye, wipers, muskies, big rainbows, cutthroats, they're all out there aggressively trying to feed. Then you got the kokanee and the browns and the brookies heading to the creeks to spawn or the big gravelly areas. You got the lake trout in the gorge that are heading to the deeper gravelly areas of the lake to start to spawn. It's just the time of the year to go catch some monsters.
Spring fishing, everybody gets real excited, and I think it's mostly because they've been cooped up all winter long. And then it's fast and furious, and if you don't catch it exactly right, then they've moved off into the deep. But fall fishing seems to taper off a little slower, and it provides, I think, more opportunities than spring fishing oftentimes.
Well, in my opinion, it definitely provides you opportunities to catch some bigger fish, especially in lakes like the Berry and the Gorge, where you have those colder water temperatures, some of the weed beds and so forth start to die off. And so those big cutthroats that are in Strawberry start to move up against those dying weed beds because the minnows and those other bait fish are starting to lose some of their cover. They become vulnerable to the big cuts. And so the big cuts come up out of their deep water because the water temperatures are more equalized. They'll cruise along those weed beds looking for the poor little minnows that are losing their homes. It can be awesome. It's a great time to throw bigger crankbaits, bigger swim baits, some jerk baits, anything that replicates a minnow. Bam, you can have it on. We're talking some big cutthroats out of the Berry and then throwing big old tube jigs down around where those lake trout are starting to gather to spawn for the fall. Usually that heats up in the middle to the end of October into November, get those big lake trout to the gorge. But they're all starting to move there. A lot of fish, like the rainbows, will follow some of those kokanees up into the tributaries and take advantage of lost egg or two and try to bulk up on some of that. The rainbows will follow those browns up the creeks. Some of the bigger browns will move into the gravelly areas. You can catch those using egg patterns on your fly rod. Plus, you get those rainbows and whitefish will come up behind their reds and start to pick up stray eggs that float by. You want to make sure if you are fishing those kind of areas, make sure where you're wading. You don't want to step on the reds and damage any of the nesting habitat. But it's a great time of year to catch some really good rainbows and whitefish this time of year in some of the local rivers also.
Flaming Gorge, you just mentioned, the Green River just below there. And right now we just had our big, heavy, hard frost, which knocks off a lot of those grasshoppers. You toss a grasshopper first week of October thereabouts, second week of October, you'll be tagging in with some large fish, very aggressive, because it's like a steak floating down the river for them, and they don't pay much attention to any poor technique at all.
Absolutely. It's one of those theories that you can give them a little hors d'oeuvre, or you can give them a steak, and sometimes the big fish will go for that steak. Just like at Strawberry this time of the year, you can throw bigger swim baits and crank baits and jerk baits and weed some of those smaller fish off and go after the lunkers if that's what you want to do.
I've had so much fun doing that, and it's funny to watch everyone else playing with those little micro-sized flies that you can almost not see yourself, and then you toss out this big ugly thing, and poor technique slaps on the water, and those fish will go out there and just slay it.
You never know. I mean, I've caught some huge fish on little size 20 flies, but sometimes that big old hopper, or when the cicadas come off, you can get some really big fish because they don't have to waste as much energy to get the return on investment going up and taking a little bit bigger bait.
How about bass? I know you're involved with a lot of bass tournaments. How do bass perform once we start seeing these cooler temperatures?
Actually, they're just like any of the other fish that are predatory. They see those weed beds starting to drop down, so the bait fish that they want to go after, the crayfish, some of that cover's gone. They're in shallow water. One thing that's great about this time of the year is the opportunity to do top water. Using top water stuff is great this time of the year. And fishing the shallow edges of banks, because they'll come up tight against those banks looking for minnows and bait fish or crawdads or whatever because the temperature's equalizing. Great time early in the morning, go up before the sun gets too high. You can have so much fun fishing topwater stuff this time of the year.
Almost magical. They are hungry. They know the winter's coming on. They want to bulk up.
Oh, absolutely. And like I say, it's a great time to catch some of the better fish. And like the gorge, there's some huge smallmouth in the gorge. I just love fishing the gorge. I may be heading over there this next weekend. Some of the guys want to go over there for a little fun fish deal where we just get together and go fish the gorge. So I might go over there and see about catching some of those 4- and 5-pound smallmouth in that lake.
Good luck. I know that's going to be a lot of fun. Do you ever chase burbot over there this time of year?
You know, it's weird. It's like I've never really caught very many of them this time of year, but I've caught them through the ice. Because they got that little antifreeze in their body, they're a little more active in the winter than other fish. And so it seems like you can almost catch them better ice fishing than you can a lot of other times. I'm sure there are guys that can go over there and know where they're going to be and jig them or whatever in the summer, in the evening or at night, because they do seem to be a little more diurnal or nocturnal hunting for their food at night.
That's what I've heard too. I know you got to get out there when everybody else is leaving usually.
But a lot of people like to eat them, and they definitely want them out of the lake. One of the results of the burbot being in the gorge is the smallmouth aren't bigger because they've eaten a lot of the little ones. But I think it has taken a while for the smallmouth and the trout to learn about the behavior of the burbot and learning how to evade them, because I'm starting to see numbers of smaller smallmouths finally starting to come back. And I think it's just one of those things that you look at the Midwest and the northern Midwest where burbot are native. There's smallmouth bass populations in most of those lakes, and I think it just has taken a while for the fish that were in the gorge, for the ones that knew how to survive during the winter when the burbot take advantage of the smaller ones, to finally get to where they're not being totally decimated by the burbot. And I think it's just a matter of time where the populations will stabilize again in the gorge.
That's encouraging. I know a lot of people have been concerned about that for a few years now.
Yeah, I think it's just taken a while because I have noticed, mind you, the Wyoming side is doing a lot of things where they'll catch smaller fish in Utah and then move them up and put them into the Wyoming side to try to help stabilize and put more smaller fish in there. But, man, it sure has made for some huge smallmouth in there. I mean, I've caught some 4.5-5-pound smallmouth that are just awesome fish, and they fight so good.
That makes for a fun day. I know a lot of folks like to get up in the high country, high Uintas or Boulder Mountains this time of year as the colors change. Those high mountain lakes are going to be really fast fishing as the temperatures continue to drop.
Yeah, if you're into hiking, it's a great thing. Throw a fishing rod in your backpack. The old Jake spin a lure or fly in a bubble. Go up there and you can do really well. A lot of people will catch a fish for dinner. As long as you don't take too many, they do stock those lakes. So they do that aerial thing when they drop little ones. Pretty cool. I've watched it a couple times. Somehow they survive. And they get dropped out of an airplane with no parachute.
You wouldn't think they could do that, but somehow they do. It's always remarkable.
I think it's something to do with the water breaking the surface because they dump them with water at the same time. I think the water breaks the surface tension, and so they just go right in the water like a diver would, I guess.
That makes sense. Yeah, it probably blunts the impact on those fish.
I'm sure a few of them get stunned, and they probably have a little mortality, but yeah, it was fun. I watched a couple planes dropping a while back, and it was kind of interesting. I didn't see too many floating around belly up, so it must have worked.
They've done that quite a few years, and it's been quite a successful deal for them. They've been doing that easily over 20, 30 years, I think.
Yeah, I think the pilot has some guts, too, to do that. Kind of like those fire bomber pilots, I guess, same thing. They got some guts. I mean, I've watched them. It seems like they didn't clear ridges by 20 feet, but...
I heard it's one of the worst roller coaster rides you can get into. I almost had a ride with one, but they said, boy, if you have any chance of any motion sickness at all, you do not want to be on this ride because it goes steep up and steep down.
Yeah, was that right after your wife bought the big life insurance policy?
Yeah. It's been a few years since I've even thought about that.
One thing we really should mention is this is probably the best time of the year right now. If people really want to go up to the Barrie and catch one of those really big cuts that's in there. Because they really get aggressively moving towards those weed beds and the points where they can find those bait fish that are starting to lose their cover. And so if I was saying, hey, I want to go catch a big cutthroat, from now until November is when I'd be heading up to the Barrie to catch those big cuts. And like I say, you can throw swim baits, like flukes or any of the little swim baits, but go big. Use ones at least 4 inches long, even bigger, and then like Lucky Crap jerk baits or any of the suspending baits work really great this time of the year. And use the big ones, the hundreds, the big size one, the 120s, Laser Rainbow, Lucky Crafts, or any of those jerk baits that are bigger to keep some of the smaller off. You're still going to catch some rainbows on those. You can also use lipless crankbaits this time of the year and just regular Rapalas. Great time of the year to go up there and catch some of those bigger cuts if you're really into that.
What are you looking for as far as colors? And I'm sure that depends a little bit on the time of day and the weather conditions.
Right. What I've found works really good. The Laser Rainbow obviously works really good, if you can find them, because everybody buys them. But the Ghost color, I really like, this time of the year, I really like the Ghost color in the Lucky Craft, which has got a brownish back with a silvery brown side to it. So it really looks a lot like a chub, at least to me. That's what I figure. It looks like a chub. And they work really, really good this time of the year. I have a few of one color that I really like stacked, which they don't make anymore. So I'm not even going to tell you what color it is because they don't make it anymore.
Darn. You bought the whole stock.
No, a friend of mine did. And thank goodness he bought me some. So good. That was good.
What about technique as far as the retrieval? Are you bringing them in fast? Are you speeding them up, slowing them down? What's the technique there?
Well, that's one of the reasons I like to fish weightless swim baits like flukes or jerk baits. Lucky Craft is what I like to do is bring them really erratic, pop them really erratic a couple of times, and then just stop and let them start to sink or let them sit there and then just gently twitch them again, and they'll usually hit them as soon as you twitch them again. You get their attention with that a real erratic ba-ba-ba-bam retrieve, and then stop them there for a second. The fish will swim over to look at it. Why is this fish sitting there? And then you twitch it. They almost can't help themselves. They have to hit it. Oh, it's going to get away from me. And so they'll hit it. And that's one of my favorite techniques this time of the year, is to fish jerk baits.
A lot of times I get surprised to have something get screwed up on my reel or something. And as soon as I fix it and get it reeling again, then all of a sudden I get the big hit on it. And oftentimes, I'm not always prepared for it.
Yeah, you got to be prepared because there are some really big rainbows in Strawberry. And one thing I found about them, the bigger rainbows, they seem to go past your bait and then hitting it going away from you. So they'll almost jerk the rod out of your hands. They've dang near gotten the rod out of my hand a few times. They hit it so stinking hard. But you do want to be ready. But with a jerk bait and a swim bait, swim bait's different. But jerk baits, you don't really have to set the hook hard with them. A lot of times if you set the hook hard with them, you'll actually pull them out of their mouth. What you really want to do is just keep reeling and just raise your rod tip. And they'll hook themselves. There's treble hooks hanging down there. The fish can't help but hook themselves with those things.
Very good advice. And panfish are fun, too, in some of these waters.
It's interesting. A friend said, hey, let's go up and try Newton. And I'm like, can you launch a boat? Oh, yeah, you can launch a boat there. Well, he was a little confused. He didn't realize that Newton and Cutler are two totally different lakes. They're not even connected. And Cutler stays full because it's Rocky Mountain Power, I guess, now. They own it, and so it's used for electrical generation, and so it stays constant because they're just using the flow of the Bear River. So there was a ramp there, but we drove from Eaton, and people looked at me really strange because there was people on the shore fishing, but I backed my bass boat down the ramp just to park so we could go fish off the shore. And I had to get out of my truck and say, no, I'm not dropping my boat off this 40-foot end of this boat ramp here, because it was a puddle. Now, I heard that the division was maybe going to net it and move some of the fish out of there to other waters, especially the tiger muskie. But we caught a bunch of really nice largemouth bass. There were guys fishing with a bobber and a jig, and with a jig about 4 to 5 feet under a bobber, which is about the depth of the water, and catching some really nice crappie and bluegills and some perch. I'm sure that's still going on if they didn't net all the fish out of there. Like I said, it's a mud puddle, so if you're going to do that, if you're going to go up to Newton, for instance, with your kids, it's a great opportunity with kids to do the little slip water deal. Take their old shoes that you don't worry about getting really muddy because the shore is really muddy.
Same thing over at Pine View. I know that's really low now, too.
Yeah, that's a great lake. This is a great time of the year to go catch some of those big old tiger muskies. Throwing spinner baits, slow rolling spinner baits right along the shore like a minnow or a bait fish or a smaller crappie. White or white with chartreuse, silver blades, deadly at Pine View. Just roll them along slow in a couple of feet of water right along the edge, and those big old muskies will come up there and just wolf them. And that's a lot of fun. You can't keep them, but it's fun to catch them and get a picture. Be really careful if you do catch them. Try to take your picture as quick as you can, get them back in the water and revive them. But that's a lot of fun this time of the year.
That's really good advice for all fish. The water's still on the warmish side for a lot of these fish. You don't want to be stressing them out too much if you're planning on returning them back to the water.
That's one problem. I had a fish die on me the other day, and I felt bad, but I was using a jerkbait, and it actually, because I do the old technique where I don't really set the hook, I just keep reeling in it, wolfed the whole. I mean, you couldn't even see the jerkbait. It was so far down in there, and it ripped up its gills as I was fighting it, bringing it in, and it ended up having to become dinner.
That's okay, too. Dinners are pretty nice, too.
Yeah. The other thing is those lakes that we have that have tiger trout in them, great time of year. They don't spawn, but they actually color up. So they're gorgeous this time of the year. They get those really bright colors just like they were going to spawn, even though they don't spawn because they're sterile. So it's really a fun time to catch them because they're so really good looking this time of the year.
Speaking of colors, the kokanee are fun to watch. They're not much good eating right now, but they are fun to watch if you want to see them in the tributaries.
You can go up, and I know they have viewing where you can walk along the pathways around Scrubber and some of the other lakes. You can't actually, technically, you're not supposed to be fishing for them, I believe, after September 15th.
Right.
But kind of cool. But I think I close it like around the 15th of September normally to protect them for going up spawning, even though they're going to pass on to the other world after they spawn.
Well, that's the thing, too. A lot of times when they start turning in that color, they start getting really mushy anyway, so it's really not a great target to begin with. Let's take a quick break. Be back in a few minutes. When we return, we'll continue our discussion with Mr. Peter Milburn, and we'll be talking about processing game animals, including making your own bratwurst. Stick around. More fun is on the way here on Western Life Radio. Your adventure. With 46 state parks and an impressive list of recreational opportunities.
Yes, bass fishing at Sand Hall State Park.
Visitors might have a hard time choosing what to do each weekend.
Woo! Windsurfing at Deer Creek State Park.
Choose your adventure. Explore Utah and create memories at Utah State Parks. For campground reservations, ideas for your next adventure, or to purchase an annual pass, stop by stateparks.utah.gov.
Warning, bad guys. Utah has school staff members that can shoot as well as law enforcement and save the wounded. FasterUtah.org.
Sportsman's Warehouse started right here in Utah, and as you probably already know, it's your headquarters for everything hunting. With the season in full swing, Sportsman's Warehouse has everything you need to gear up for the hunts. But if hunting's not your thing, you've got to see the selection of great camping supplies, from tents, sleeping bags, packs, and lanterns, to thousands of accessories. And with football season, let's not forget tailgating. Let's talk grills, pop-up shelters, tables, and chairs galore. There's something for everyone. Sportsman's Warehouse, Utah born, Utah proud.
Our region is facing an exceptional drought, and the potential for wildfire is high.
And agencies around the state are working together to meet the threat.
Wildfire could strike in your community next. Are you prepared? Plan ahead now by remembering, ready, set, go. Be ready by maintaining 100 feet of defensible space around your home and taking steps to harden your home and make it more fire resistant.
Be set by having a wildfire action plan and knowing what important items to take with you in the event of an evacuation.
And lastly, go. Evacuate early when a wildfire strikes in your area.
We're prepared.
We're prepared.
We're prepared for wildfire. Are you?
Explore the universe from one of Utah's dark sky parks. With more than 14 state park destinations to choose from, your family can gaze at the Milky Way, watch the moonrise, or make a wish during a meteor shower. With the right telescope, you can find nearby planets, tour distant galaxies, or capture the heavens with your own deep space photography. Your adventure begins with a camping reservation and a clear view to the darkened skies. Launch your epic nighttime adventure at stateparks.utah.gov.
Put on your helmet, let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
No matter what's bugging you this summer in your garden, the USU Extension Service Integrated Pest Management Program can help you find solutions. From free fact sheets and books to seminars and updated pest advisories, this website will point you in the right direction. To find these and other free resources, stop at extension.usu.edu/pests.
Y'all might think that a day on the lake is all fun and the sun on your bum, but you, my friends, are incorrect. Today we're gonna feel the burn together while Roar gets you ready for a safe day on the lake. Not only do life jackets save your lives, but they make you look amazing. Let's get started. This first routine is an important one. You gotta zip it, gotta zip it, gotta click it, zip it, click it. Look at you, Terry.
Oh yeah, guys got it.
Fly down the boat, wave to the boat, scream for help. Ah! What's wrong, Terry?
I just can't swim good.
Oh, that's okay, little buddy. That's what this is for.
Oh.
Woo. Thanks to my exercise, I think you're ready for a safe day on the lake. Just remember, always wear your life jacket.
Hi, this is Jeff Johnson from Be Ready Utah. Have you ever been in an earthquake? There are a lot of things occur during an earthquake that a lot of people don't realize are going to happen, both during the earthquake and in the time afterwards. I went through a 7.7 earthquake in Japan many years ago, and I will tell you, I wasn't ready. I'm going to tell you some of the things you may want to think about that are going to occur during and pursuant to an earthquake. First thing is, most people don't realize they'll hear the earthquake before you feel it. Not very long, a few seconds, but you'll definitely hear, and it will sound like a freight train coming towards your house. Most people haven't trained themselves to drop cover and hold on. This is critical, because in the first moments of violent shaking, your life is in jeopardy. And if it's a severe earthquake, you need to be able to get underneath something and protect yourself. Don't ever run outside. That's far more dangerous, 22 times more dangerous than drop covering and holding onto something. Why do you hold on? Furniture and objects will move. In a large earthquake, they will go wall to wall, and you'll both be subjected to them moving around with you and them possibly injuring you. Your utilities are going to go out. That means gas, water, power, phone, they're going to be down. How long were they down for us? 30, 35, 40 days. You will need to be prepared for an extended period of time without utilities, water and food and sanitation. Most people don't think about how to take a bath when the water's not running. How much toilet paper do you need? I know we've had runs on toilet paper recently, but we needed 8 weeks worth of toilet paper, and you might as well. How do you bathe when the water's out for 35 days? It could be out for months in some areas, so you might want to give some consideration about your personal hygiene and your sanitation. Very few people think about how difficult travel will be after the earthquake. Bridges will be out, overpasses will be down, buildings will have collapsed in the road, the pavement will be broken up, and it could possibly take a year or more to rebuild some of these. Roads are not repaired quickly, and realize you might have some travel problems. Also, what if your windows break out? What's the temperature outside? Well, whatever the temperature is outside, it will most likely set the temperature inside your house, unless you have a way to fill up your windows and close off an area and heat it. Think about sealing up your windows and making sure that you have a way to keep your home heated or cool if that's a necessity. You need to be prepared for things that are not often talked about or ever discussed. And these are some of the ideas that you can find at the Be Ready Utah website at BeReadyUtah.gov. Please join us there for more information about how to survive an earthquake and not become a victim. Thanks for listening.
Now back to Western Life Radio with your host, Brian Brinkerhoff.
Welcome back to Western Life Radio. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff, host this program. We have Mr. Peter Milburn with us once again, and this weekend is the peak of the color season. We encourage people to get out and enjoy some of that. I love the fall season.
Like I say, the fall is the hunting and the fishing during the fall. That's when it's happening. I was born for the fall is what I always tell people. I love this time of the year. Not only are the fruits and vegetables all ripe, and so you're busy making your salsa from your garden or whatever, you got to get out there and go hunting and fishing, and it's just great. Like you say, the bird hunts. I did manage to go out with a friend and get a few doves one day, but I haven't really done as much hunting as I'd like to other than the archery hunt. I did go on the archery hunt, and I ended up shooting a little buck with my bow just because my wife and my daughter love deer meat, so they said, get us a deer. So I went and shot one, and it's delicious, by the way. Me and my brother, we've always processed our own game meat. So it's a good time of year to get it. How you take care of it's how it tastes is what we always say. So
it is, and you get the whole family involved on processing it. And you actually have a few tips for folks so you don't get freezer burn. I know you use butcher paper and a couple other tricks.
The one thing we usually do is, I'm fortunate, I'll cut it all up and start separating it out. And then my wife and daughter and son a lot of times will come in and they'll just start wrapping it up for me. So it's great. You can get it done pretty darn quick when you got a couple of people wrapping. But basically what we found the best way to really do it is, some people like to do vacuum sealing, but that's such a process. What we found is we use regular size gallon plastic bags, the ones that don't have a Ziploc on them, just the regular gallon size, the gallon size bags, and put the meat in there, get all the air out of them, roll them up, don't seal them or tie them, just roll them down to the end and then wrap them in regular coated butcher paper, mark them what they are. We always mark them what they are and when we packaged them so that you can rotate through and you don't end up getting a roast or a steak out of the freezer that's from 1906.
It's got to be labeled by someone who can write, that you can read the writing.
Yes. You must be able to read the date. But it's a lot easier for people than people think to do your own processing, especially if you have a couple of good knives at hand, get a good big cutting board that you can use. You trim it off and you just want to take really good care of it. When you first get the animal, cool it down as fast as possible. What we usually do is we will skin the animal, trying to make sure we get little hair on it as possible. And a lot of times, if we have the capability, we'll actually wash it. Wash it with water. Just spray it down with water. Make sure we get all that hair off of there. Dry it for a second. Cap it down dry with paper towels if you want to. And then put it on ice in a cooler and get it chilled down. And then bring it home and debone it and finish cutting it up when we get home. You can let it age a couple of days on ice if you want to. But we found you don't necessarily have to age it very long. Those days of hanging it with a game bag outside for a week and a half and peppering it and all that stuff and getting flies on it, nah, you don't need to do that. It can age in your refrigerator if you want to. Put it in a bowl, cover it with plastic wrap, the meat that you want to age, and let it sit in your fridge for a week or two if you really want to age it. But we've found that you don't really need to age it more than a couple of days anyways. We'll usually put it on ice, cool it down, keep it cool. When we get home, we just go right to town and cut it up and package it. It's been fantastic for us. Also make a lot of our own sausage.
And as far as making sausage, I know you have a few tricks there too. If you make it too dry, I know a lot of people who've done this, and they didn't add extra fat to it and found it not to be quite so palatable.
Yeah, definitely you want to add fat. You don't necessarily need to add as much as some commercial companies do, obviously, because they're trying to go the other way and save money on the meat product by adding fat, or sometimes they put more than you might necessarily need. But you want to try to put, believe it or not, at least about 15%. Because if you don't put that much, when you cook it, it's going to be dry and it'll have a weird consistency that just won't feel right when you eat a bratwurst, for instance.
It's like eating sawdust.
Yeah, you just want to make sure we always say put at least about, minimum is 10%, but usually at least 15 to 18% is perfect. There's probably some commercial sausage out there that's probably 25% or more of fat, but there's a lot of great spice mixes on the market available that you can routinely buy. We buy some base mixes and then add our own spice flavors. Some people, like my son, like spicy, so I'll have to keep an eye on him as he sneaks over and starts adding the red pepper flakes in there so they don't get too hot and spicy for you. But
that's all fun, especially for Oktoberfest.
And like I say, I have a fairly expensive heavy-duty grinder, and it works wonders because it'll grind so fast. I can put 20 pounds of meat through that thing in 5 minutes, where some of the inexpensive little cheapy ones you buy off of Amazon, you probably would break it if you tried to put that much meat through it that fast. One key I will tell you is try to cut the fat up into the pieces that'll fit into your grinder and then actually put them in the freezer and let them get super cold, because they go through the grinder a lot better if they're almost frozen, and it won't melt. Plus, it'll help cool the rest of your meat down. Again, a lot of people like to get their meat almost frozen when they put it through the grinding process. Commercial guys will actually put dry ice in with it so it cools the whole process down when they're doing it. I don't bother with that because I figure as soon as I start doing that, I'm going to break the blades on my grinder because it'll get too cold.
Make them brittle. I'm glad you brought that up, because I think a lot of people underestimate how much heat is generated through one of those grinders. I mean, it'll melt. It drips around if you don't do something like freezing that stuff ahead of time.
Anytime you're running an auger or anything forcing through a grinding, there is friction there, and so it's going to warm it up. And so if you can keep the fat cool, more so it comes out in little pieces rather than little melted blobs, and so that's what you want if you want to end up having your sausage come out really well, is just keep it cool. And don't over-mix it. Unless you're trying to make vice versa where you have to double or triple grind it to get it that color, because what you're doing is oxygenating it and emulsifying everything. But if you want a regular bratwurst, don't over-grind it. A lot of people will over-grind it. So watch that. Just grind it once, mix in your fat. If you want, you can mix it in and then run it through a stuffer, and you're perfect.
That makes me smile. Bratwurst is so fantastic. I know some people will make a point of it to remove the fat off the deer before they add the other fat from the pork. Do you do that, or does it matter much to you?
The main thing that we're looking for We've actually tried some, and deer fat, to be honest with you, doesn't really have a bad flavor to it. It can go rancid quicker than I think beef or pork fat can, so that might be an issue with people if they've let it sit too long. But we will trim it off as we're going through, but a lot of times we'll leave some of that on there, especially if you're talking like the brisket meat, leave some of that on there. Also, the one thing you do want to do is, depending on the grinder you have, is how much tendons, sinew, or that silver skin that you can leave on there. Because if you have a really good heavy-duty grinder, it's going to grind it all up. But if you have a cheap, lightweight grinder, you better make sure you're getting rid of most of that, the sinew and the silver skin stuff, because that can really put a hurting on your grinder.
That's true. And I think you made a good point right off the bat. I know a lot of people say, well, I'm not a big fan of game meat. A lot of times that's because it's not been handled properly ahead of time. You take care of it from the beginning steps, right after you shoot it. People complain about the gamey flavors. Those gamey flavors are oftentimes the hunter's fault.
A lot of times that gamey flavor comes from the fact that they hung it in a tree for a week.
Exactly.
They overaged it in that whole situation. So if you can get the skin off of it and cool it down in a cooler, it's amazing how much of that gaminess goes away.
Yeah, cleaning them quickly, process them quickly, cooling them down quickly.
Don't be afraid to put water on it to wash off stuff and then dry it, pat it dry with a paper towel and then put it on there. Don't worry about that. It's not going to hurt it. I mean, if you go to a commercial butcher plant, you know what they do? They skin the animals and then they hose them down. So it's not going to hurt them. The little bit of water, you just want to dry it off. Don't let them soak in a pot of water all day, but don't be afraid to rinse them off good. And not only that, if you're using cold water, it helps to cool the meat down.
I know somebody who will, if there's a crick nearby, they'll drop them in the crick for a little bit to cool them down quickly, and then they'll pat them off and dry them off as soon as it's cooled.
Yeah, that's a good way. Now, me, a lot of times I leave the skin on it and would throw it in the creek. And then if you leave it there too long, you come back and there's crawdads and other things chewing on it. So
getting the first cut off of them.
You can have surf and turf at the same time.
That's right. Is it too late now for a crayfish? I know there's a window. You got to catch them before it starts cooling down too much on the water.
You can catch them all the time, but the shallower water starts to cool down, which is what happens this time at night, because it starts to get cold at night. The days are getting shorter, so that surface water starts to cool down to the point where eventually the lake's going to turn over. That's when your fishing's going to slow down for a few days until everything clears back up and settles back down. But you can still catch them. And like I said, in lakes that have predatory fish that are prone to eating them, it's better to go in the evening or at night or early in the morning before that sun really comes up. And obviously, the evening's probably better because the banks temperature is a little warmer because the sun's been hitting on it. So this time of year, go to those southern-facing banks that are going to have a little bit more heat in them, and the crayfish are going to be a little more active on those sorts of banks. But yeah, you can still catch them.
Good advice. Again, encourage people to spend time with their families and get involved with an organization, too, that supports the outdoors. I know you're involved with several organizations. I've seen you on Pheasants Forever, and I've seen you with Ducks Unlimited. I've seen you involved with dozens of organizations over the years.
I am the tournament director with our Salt City Bass Club. So if anybody's interested in learning more about bass fishing, you're welcome to come join us at Salt City Bass. We have a little requirements about membership. You have to get to know the guys and be voted in, but you have to participate in some meetings and a couple events. We are going to be having an event. So if you're not going duck hunting and you want to come up and fish Jordanelle, let us know. If you have a boat, let me know. If you don't have a boat, obviously we try to only keep two guys on each boat. That's just the way bass fishing is. But yeah, if you're interested, we're fishing Jordanelle, so you don't necessarily need a bass boat to fish Jordanelle because it's not that big of a lake. It's not like Lake Powell where you might want to go 70 miles down the lake or something.
Mr. Peter Milburn joining us once again. Thank you for taking time with us. It is certainly an honor to visit with you once again.
first came from Tennessee, 1891. The West was still young and free like the early morning sun. Digging into the mountainside, looking for a streak of gold. In the marrow of the onyx and mine lies the story that they told. Now 100 years gone by, you still can see their sign. Way out on the boulder road that leads down to the old mine. I came for the first time when I was just 16. And now 20 years have passed and I'm still just a refugee. I feel something when I ride that rocky trail. And I hear voices in the tall, dark pine. And I don't feel nothing when I drive these city streets. So I think I'll leave this city behind. Head for the Onyx Mine. Story about driving that old road in a 1941 Ford the day after it snowed. I downlocked through the fender and I busted out the headlamp. By the early morning light, they made it to the old mine camp. When my world turns dark and cold and the golden light don't shine, gather up my family and we head up to the old mine. We sit around a campfire, look up at the full white moon, listen to the coyote howl and the ghost miner's tune. 'Cause I feel something when I ride that rocky trail. And I hear voices in the tall, dark pine. I don't feel nothing when I drive these city streets. So I think I'll leave this city behind. Head for the Onyx Mine. For the Onyx Mine.
Explore the universe from one of Utah's dark sky parks. With more than 14 state park destinations to choose from, your family can gaze at the Milky Way, watch the moonrise, or make a wish during a meteor shower. With the right telescope, you can find nearby planets, tour distant galaxies, or capture the heavens with your own deep space photography. Your adventure begins with a camping reservation and a clear view to the darkened skies. Launch your epic nighttime adventure at stateparks.utah.gov.
Put on your helmet, let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
No matter what's bugging you this summer in your garden, the USU Extension Service Integrated Pest Management Program can help you find solutions. From free fact sheets and books to seminars and updated pest advisories, this website will point you in the right direction. To find these and other free resources, stop at extension.usu.edu/pests.
Pastor Utah empowers teachers, administrators, and other school staff to defend themselves in case of a school shooting. We teach advanced firearms and trauma first aid skills. Graduates of the FASTER program pass the same post-qualification shoot as Utah law enforcement. For more information and find out how you can help, go to fasterutah.org.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Put on your helmet, let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Sportsman's Warehouse started right here in Utah, and as you probably already know, it's your headquarters for everything hunting. With the season in full swing, Sportsman's Warehouse has everything you need to gear up for the hunts. But if hunting's not your thing, you've got to see the selection of great camping supplies, from tents, sleeping bags, packs, and lanterns, to thousands of accessories. And with football season, let's not forget tailgating. Let's talk grills, pop-up shelters, tables, and chairs galore. There's something for everyone. Sportsman's Warehouse. Utah born, Utah proud.
Play safe. Boating accidents happen quickly. You never know when you might end up in the water. Wear your life jacket and have a throwable life preserver on board. Remember, Utah boaters wear it. Call 801-538-BOAT. Visit stateparks.utah.gov. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Ricky, my man.
Hey, headed out on the lake, I see. These fish aren't gonna catch themselves, am I right? Got some brewskis from my broski.
No, thank you, that's illegal.
What? Come on, aren't you the guy that wrestled the buffalo on Antelope Island?
First of all, they're called bison, and I was delivering a breech calf.
Wow, come on, man. I'll trade you this Sixer of Suds for that life jacket.
A real man always wears his life vest. And he never partakes of alcohol while operating a boat. Everyone knows that.
Not everybody does.
Everybody knows that.
You got me.
Hunting and fishing and
marshes and mountains, discovering life in the backcountry wild, exploring the West with its treasures abounding, with the soul of a sportsman and heart of a child. Wild and free, the song of the mountains is calling to me.
Folks, you've been listening to Western Life Radio, a 30-year outdoor and Western lifestyle tradition. Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.